Scripture earlier. Glory to God, amen. God's Word. God's Word, my friends. It's a light unto our pathway, a lamp unto our feet. It brings direction for us. It shows it in the darkness of this world. If you'll open up the lamp and turn on the light. I'm reminded of this advertisement that's on TV. It's a light. It's a flashlight. And they put it in a block of ice and it still works. And it puts it in the hot water and it still works. And they run over it with a car and it still works. It's indestructible. Well, let me tell you something. This is more indestructible than that. When that battery runs out, it doesn't work anymore. But this never runs out. This is filled with life. And it's the light of this world. This world does not need a new president or a new congressman, a new senator. This world needs a church filled with the Spirit of God, the light of God, the Word of God, the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the greatness of God manifested in their lives. That's what we need here. The darkness needs the light that's in you to shine brighter. Come on now. They got a false light out there. They got a false light. They're going to try and lead you. Listen, don't get wisdom from people in the world. You understand what I'm saying? Don't turn to the world and ask for their advice. You understand what I'm saying? Well, they got good advice. No, they don't. They have lies. Because their father is a father of lies, and they listen to their father. Make sure, if you're going to make a decision, consult the only one who knows the outcome of your decision before you make it. Who's that? God. God says His Holy Spirit was given to us to tell us about things to come. What's He talking about? He's talking about not only revealing the last days, which we're in, but He's trying to also reveal to you the pitfalls the enemy's got for you ahead of you. The other day I was praying, and I shared this with you, I think, already, but I'm going to share it again. When Diane and I were talking about doing something, and so I started looking it up on, you know, and all this stuff, and I said, okay, and I went out to mow the lawn, and I mowed the lawn, and I said, Lord, what about this? What should I do? One word came, wait. That was it. Wait. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear. You understand? In the natural, that's not what I'm... In the natural, I can do exactly what I wanted to do with Diane, the two of us. We had the wherewithal to get it done. But I told Diane. He said, wait. Why? I don't know. Led by the Spirit doesn't mean you always know what's going to happen. But He knows. And so before we jump, we should ask. Amen. We should inquire. Amen. Amen? That's what you want to know. What do we want to stay connected to God for? Because He's the one who knows. Amen. Matter of fact, He knows the outcome of your life. He knows whether you're going to live or die. He knows already where your provision is when you have need. Amen. And He'll lead you there. He told the prophet, go over by the brook. There was a famine in the land. There was a drought in the land. He said, go by the brook. So the prophet did exactly what God told him to do, and God then fed him with the ravens, and he drank from the brook. When the brook dried up, God said, now go to the widow. How many of you know? God knows exactly what you need before you need it, and He's already prepared the answer before you ask the question. But if you don't inquire of Him, no, you make decisions based on your wants, based on what you think is correct. Will it always turn out bad? No, not necessarily true. But the more you lean on your own understanding, the less you lean on God, the less you stay connected to Him. Because if you don't think you need Him, you won't spend time with Him. Amen. You'll spend time with self. You will think in your own mind, I know. Hallelujah. Amen? So God is good. All the time. So God's got a plan for your life. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Oh man, I got to go back to 4. Listen what he says here. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. Even though you're weak, you can live by the power of God. Amen. The hardest thing in the world is to do what God tells you to do when it looks impossible to get it done. When you look at something, you say, I can't. You go back to that movie who's that guy? Hallelujah. Huh? Oh, come on now. You know what I'm talking about. With the whip and all that stuff. Indiana Jones. Amen. Well, Indiana Jones, remember that one movie he was in? And he said he had to walk by faith. And he said he had to take a step of faith when he didn't see anything to walk on. It was just, right? And he had to take a leap of faith, a step of faith. Sometimes you will never see God move in your life until you take a step of faith.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. I say it again to you. I want to emphasize this. Do not look to the world to see what you think life is all about. Amen. I don't care how much money they got. I don't care how many big cars and nice cars and boats and big houses and all the clothes and vacations they go on. I don't care about that. Outside of God, there is no life. Outside of Christ, you ready for this? You won't like this one. Outside of Christ, there is no God. You ain't going to get to him any other way. You're not going to get to him by your good looks. You're not going to get to him by your good works. You're not going to get to him by your good intentions. Amen. You're going to have to get to him his way. You're going to have to stay connected his way. Amen. And he instructs us how to do that.
Right.
I am not talking about people getting, they're lost and they're going to hell and all this when they were saved. No, I'm talking about if you are saved. If you're not saved, you can't stay connected because you're not connected yet. Amen. So you can't be connected, stay connected. But if you are, and you know for a fact, it's not by your works, not by your good looks, not by your good intentions, not saying, oh, well, I'm just a good person, I'm going to heaven. No, it doesn't work that way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Until you get that way, you never can stay connected to God, because he is the one who connects us to God.
Amen.
He did it through the cross at Calvary. Amen. First of all, what did he do? He removed the sin. Then he took us and washed us up with the blood. Amen. Then he came up out of the grave. He went to heaven and sent back his Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Amen. And with us. So it's because you have the Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of Christ in you, you cry out, Abba, Father. Now he's not just God, he is your Father. Amen. He's not just your Father, he is your Abba. That means he's your daddy. He's my daddy. I can get up on his knees, I can sit in his lap, I can talk to him, and I can listen to him, and he will love on me. You've never been loved on until you've been loved on by God. Amen. Somebody can bring you roses and chocolate, but God brings you love and life, and he brings you this. He brings you acceptance.
Yes.
He doesn't reject you because you don't do what he wants. He'll never reject you. You understand that? Never.
Amen.
Now, there's purposes for allowing us to stay connected to God, that we can live this life And have, when we get to heaven, there's going to be certain rewards for those who have been connected and doing what God told them to. We can see in the scripture, it says that you can be saved as if through fire, but lose your rewards in heaven. Mm-hmm. Amen? You can. So you can stay saved and still miss out on the rewards God intended for you when you get there. But not only that, you can miss out the abundant life that God has for you here. If your life is good, he makes it better. If your life sucks, he makes it better. Amen? Everything with God is better than what you can do on your own. Everything is better. There isn't anything. That's why I watch these people who are born again, and I mean they're born again. And then I watch their lives, and they leave the church. You know, God will be blessing them. Things will be going wonderful. All of a sudden, they get offended, or all of a sudden, something happens, and they leave the church. And you look at them, and you say, why? Well, they, for a while, listen to me, for a while, it looks good. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? When you make decisions based on emotions and feelings and human... I won't say it. Human feelings rather than on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. For a moment, it will feel and look good because sin is good for a season and it feels good. Once you... God created us to be free.
Amen?
Amen? He did. But he also created us to be submitted to him. Once you agree to be submitted to the Father and to the Son and the Holy Spirit, once you commit yourself to be submitted to him, all of a sudden there's things in your life that you think you're missing out on. People actually feel more free away from the church than in the church. They do. Oh, I don't have to go to church on Sunday. I don't have to pray, and I have to read the Word. I'm free. And besides, I get all my extra money because I don't pay my tithe and give my offerings anymore. I go buy a new car now. I can do this. I can go on vacation. There's so many things. And I listen to people talking. And, oh, yeah, they're so much happier now that they don't go to church. Then you watch a while later. Everything starts falling apart in their life. They hang in there because they have no place else to turn. Because they can't turn back to God, then they have to admit they were wrong in the first place. That's called pride. I like what the prodigal son, I'd rather be a servant in the household of God than be out there. I'd rather be just sitting here cleaning the church or doing whatever God has for me to do, whatever it is, rather than be out there. I look at that and I say, oh my God, Father, keep me. I don't think, the Bible, you know, I used that scripture last week, take heed lest you think you stand. Don't think you're all set. None of us are. Paul, even in his writings, he admitted it. But he recognized his need for more of God. He recognized his need to decrease so God can increase in him, that it's not him, but Christ in him, the hope of glory.
Amen?
Amen? Okay. So we got to recognize that. We got to get to a place and say, Lord, when Jesus was in the garden, he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That's an easy thing to say, but not easy to do. So as we're worshiping, God kind of led me over here and he said, go over there. Because how do I know? Remember what I said to you before, examine yourself. How do you examine yourself? Look at what the Word of God says. How many know God's got an answer for everything? Amen. There isn't a thing in your life, our lives, that God hasn't got an answer for. This scripture here in Haggai really blew me away when I first read it many years ago. And I watched it and I said, whoa. It's so easy. Listen to what he says here. I'm going into Haggai 1. God is chastising the nation of Israel because they got caught up in living their life separate from Him. They got caught up building their homes. They got caught up in doing this and doing that. Listen, well, let me read it to you. Thus speak the Lord of hosts. This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Let me explain that to you. This building is not the Lord's house. You are. And God requires that you deal with this house and not just allow it to low and fall apart. God wants you to work on the house, this house. Yes, it requires at times exercise, which I'm woefully lacking. But, you know, the Bible says exercise is good for a little. But He said godliness is good for this life and the life to come. So, my first goal is let's work on godliness with a little bit of exercise. Right? Hallelujah. Okay. Listen to this. Then the word of the Lord came by the Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Amen. Consider your ways. And that it means examine your life. Any time that God spoke with the nation of Israel, He explained to them that He is a God of grace and of mercy and of goodness. He says, as long as you do as I instruct you to do, you will eat off the fat of the land. I'm going to take care of you. You'll be provided for. You'll be protected. When they walked 40 years in the desert in disobedience to God's will for them to enter into the promised land, do you realize that none of their clothes wore out? None of their shoes wore out? Listen to even this. None of them got sick. God fed them. God kept their clothes. He kept them healthy. In the midst of their disobedience, do you realize just because things are going well for you doesn't mean that you're doing what God wants you to do? Do you know that God said something? He said, listen, He said, I rain on the just and the unjust. God's blessing. The world out there, especially in America, is experiencing God's goodness even in their disobedience. Amen? So we have to understand something. God wants us to look at our lives and consider our ways. Okay, everything's going fine now. Well, if you continue to do what you're doing and you're not doing what God wants you to do, and prayerfully you are, and I'm just speaking to the peanut gallery because everybody's doing exactly what God wants in this place, right? Everybody is doing exactly as God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do all that I command, not just some things. Oh. Amen. I don't know about you, but I missed the mark. Not just sometimes, more than I need to. But my goal is, God, finish the work you've begun in me.
Hallelujah.
Get me to that place. Look, I am not trying to get you to feel condemnation. I don't want you to feel guilt. I don't want you to feel shame. I don't want any of that on you. That's not of God. Amen. But I want to awaken in you the truth that will set you free from this worldly system that can only come through the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in your life.
Amen.
Our goal here is not just to come to church, but when you leave here and operate in victory out there, not in defeat.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So that's our goal. My goal is you don't need me. But you're so filled with Jesus, you don't need me. I have no problem with that. I have those who need help because they refuse to allow Jesus to do what He needs to do in their life. Amen? Hallelujah. So what we're doing here is to encourage. Well, I don't feel encouraged. Trust me, when I was reading that, all of a sudden it hit me yesterday. I wasn't encouraged. When God starts bringing correction to your life, it feels and it bothers you at first.
Yes.
Matter of fact, you don't blame God, you blame me.
Yes.
Oh. You understand? You won't attack God for his truth. You'll attack me for bringing it to you.
I confess.
How do I know that? Because they did it with Jesus. They did it with Paul. They did it with Peter. They did it with all the apostles. Every time they spoke the truth, they were attacked. Hallelujah. Try it sometime. Go out there and speak the truth. See if the attacks don't come. It's truth. But the only hope they have is if somebody will tell them the truth.
Amen.
The only hope they have in Christ is to hear the truth. Amen. Turn away from the lie. Accept the truth and let the truth change them and transform them and bring a freedom to them they never experienced before.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
Hmm. Hmm. Hallelujah. We'll get there yet. What time is it? Okay. I know, Kathy. Don't start with me.
I'm not saying a word.
Kathy doesn't like it when I look at my watch. I know. Listen, back to five. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. In other words, he's saying, if things aren't going the way you like, maybe there's something you're not doing that you should be doing.
Amen.
Amen? That's what he says. You have sown much and bring in little. You've sown a lot of seeds out there, but you're not seeing the harvest. Why? Is it because God? Here's our prime example. Is most of us say this. And trust me, it takes time for when you sow to get a harvest. Trust me, if you sowed yesterday, you may not get the harvest for a while. I don't know how. We've got two red maples sitting in our backyard that we put in the ground. How many years ago? 5 years ago. They're probably up about 12 foot or so now. Kind of thin, but straight up. We put a weeping willow out front. How long ago did we do that? 5 years, about same time. That thing is gigantic. I mean, it's a beautiful, I love weeping willows anyways. I know everybody thinks they're ugly. But these things, is beautiful, and it's so high and so big and so full. And we look at it and say, wait a minute, we sowed that at the same time we sowed that. Then I got three fruit trees I planted back there. I think we've had two apples off the apple tree so far, and they were kind of... The plum tree isn't working yet, and neither is the pear tree. But they're growing. So some things go quick, some things not so quick. It all depends what you're sowing for. Amen? So don't be discouraged if you're not. But if you have sown and sown over years, and you're not seeing any harvest coming in, maybe there's something wrong with the soil that you're sowing into. Maybe the seed isn't right. I don't know. Maybe you're not letting the sun shine on it enough. Maybe you're not letting the rain of the Holy Spirit water it enough. Maybe it's time to dig the weeds from around the roots. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I gotta stop. I'm getting in trouble. Okay. You eat but do not have enough. You eat but never satisfied. Amen? You never have enough. You ever get that way? People are that way, you know. God will bless them. Give them something, but it's never good enough. It's never enough. They want more. They got to have more. They got to have more. They got to have more. Never satisfied. When you find contentment, it's a great thing.
Amen.
Contentment brings peace. It brings comfort. I can sit and eat something, and 5 minutes later be hungry. Do you understand? Learn to be content with a little, and God will give you much.
Amen.
Amen? Don't get greedy. Don't get greedy. In other words, don't be covetous. Don't keep wanting more. Find your contentment, first of all, in Christ. Find it in there first. Find in it that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Find your contentment that you know if you die, you know where you're going.
Amen.
Find that first. Once you've got that, that'll trickle down into the rest of your life. Amen? Because in nothing in comparison to that. There's nothing out there that says, oh, man, look at this. I've got this. Well, what about your salvation? Yeah, I got that too, but look at this. No. Look at my salvation. My name's written in the Lamb Book of Life. Jesus has my name on his lips. I am there. Praise God. And if I got that, I got it all.
Amen.
You understand? But if I focus on down here, if I listen to what everybody says, all the instruction, oh, you got to go get this. Oh, you got to go do that. Oh, you know, you're that, that. And, when I hear those things, and I do, and I see them, I shut up. I want to tell people, you're being deceived. You're being led astray. You're following the path that's the wide path like everybody else is following. Yes, it doesn't look like it's fair. It doesn't look like it's right. But do what God tells you to do and watch what will happen. But I can't. People don't want me to judge. People don't want me to tell them the truth. In their own mind, they've already justified their walk in this world to satisfy their own selves. Even though it's so clear and so perfectly clear, they've heard it from the pulpit. They've heard it from my own lips. They've even agreed with me at times about someone else, but can't see it in themselves. Because they got to have more of this world. Got to have more sports. We've got to have more bigger, nicer houses. We got to have more bigger, nicer cars. Is God adverse to all that? Absolutely not. Does God want you to be blessed in this life? Yes. But he wants it through him, not through the world. The world will put you in slavery to get all that stuff. God will give you freedom. When he told me to wait for what we were going to do, I'm saying, Lord, you must have something in mind that I don't know. And it's probably better than what I could have done in the first place. And guess what? It won't bring me into slavery to debt.
Amen.
Whom I owe, I become a slave to. Okay. Let's look at a little bit more. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Hallelujah. You are thirsty. What did Jesus say? All those who thirst, come and drink from the fountain of life. Amen? Don't look to this world. Listen, I was one of the biggest drinkers you could ever get. I drank. And I meant I drank. I drank. And then I drank some more. I remember we were living in Florida, Diane and I, at my father's place. He had a quarter keg in the garage on ice in Florida. I'm working in the morning early painting houses. By 10 o'clock, not quite drunk. I wasn't quite drunk by 10. But by 10 o'clock, I was in the keg. Because I only painted houses around his garage. Yeah, I think I'm kidding you? It's the truth. I am telling you the truth. We lived there for 3 months. By the time I left there, I couldn't stand the smell of alcohol, of that beer anymore. We had so much. I'm telling you. I remember one time I got a DWI, and I'm not proud of it. I did in my old life. And then the next night, I was passed out in the parking lot right in East Greenbush in the same car that I just got a DWI the night before. I drank. I didn't drink once in a while. I drank every day. I never could get enough. I never got enough. Why? I had a lousy life. So I drank. Because the only way I could see to get out of it. Yes, before Diane, yes. She wanted to make that. We had to clarify that, yes. But I drank, and never enough. The first time I tasted of the Holy Spirit of God and drank from the fountain of life, I've been drunk in the Spirit, and I've been drunk in the beer. I'll take the Spirit anytime.
Amen.
That made me feel good. Beer always gave me a hangover. Yeah. Amen? So there's a way to drink. That drink brings life. If you haven't got enough, what do? Jesus said, come to me. Jesus said, come to me if you want it. If you're satisfied with what's out there, you won't go to him. Hallelujah. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another helper. That word is comforter, another comforter. Warm clothes in a cold environment brings comfort. Amen? You clothe yourself with warm clothes. But I'll tell you what, when you clothe yourself with the Holy Spirit and righteousness descends upon you like an... Come on. Glory to God. You know how nice it is to know that I'm in right standing with God, not because of what I've done, because of what he did.
Amen.
Do you know he keeps me in right standing with him? And that brings me comfort. When he clothes me with his righteousness, the hardest thing for me is to remember that when I mess up. I beat myself up. I tear it down. Oh, look what you did again. Oh, da, 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 da. Then I remember. Oh, that's right, Lord. It's you. It's not me. It's your righteousness, not mine. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So clothe yourself with his righteousness, not your own. And it certainly brings a comfort to you. Hallelujah. Amen? All right. And he said this, he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. What happens? Do you ever go and it seems like every time you get your money, you get your wages, you get your income, it just seems to keep going out the window. And now, look, you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, I got all this left over because I got all my bills paid, I got all this left over, and all of a sudden something bad happens.
Yep.
Got to fix your car, got to fix the washing machine, got to fix the stove, you got to do this. You weren't expecting it, but it seems like every time you start to get ahead, something goes wrong. Maybe you need to consider your ways where your finances are concerned. I am one who believes in the Word of God where finances are concerned. I believe in it. To the best of our ability, we adhere to the Word of God. And we have watched over the years God's provision. Amazing miracles. Provision. It seems like we get so far in debt and all of a sudden, bam, we're out of debt again. I'm going, whoa, where did that come from? God. And also, and I'll be honest with you, a godly wife who isn't crazy about spending money for nonsense. And I'm the nonsense she doesn't spend it on. Oh, I couldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have gone there. But I had to go there. That was so easy. No, I'm sorry. No. For those who are listening to this, she's laughing. Until we get home. Then it's... No, I'm only kidding. But God's provision is real.
Amen.
If you're not seeing it, matter of fact, if you're not seeing the abundance that comes out of, you don't even know where it comes from, then maybe you should consider your ways, what you're doing with your finances. I'll only say it that way, because it's real. I can't imagine a God, my father, my daddy, not caring about my life. But just like anything else, if I got a daddy I can go to for information and wisdom. Yeah, he says, Dave, you're old enough now. I should be at 69. You'd think I'd be old enough by now to know everything. But I'm not, and I don't. I just know this. I know the path to my daddy's front door. And he said, boldly come into my throne room of grace and mercy. Boldly come in. And he said, if you ask and you believe that what I said to you is true, and you do as I command you to do, you'll eat the fullness of my blessings in your life. Amen. He never says no to his children. He just says, do this, then watch what he'll do. Do this, watch what he'll do. That message came just now. It didn't come. I had no notes on that. Know this. God is trying to speak to us. He's getting to us a place. Again, I am not telling you what to do. I pray that I'm showing you the way that God is showing me. He's telling me, David, wait. For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's my God. That's my God. Waiting on the Lord is not just standing there waiting. Waiting is doing what he instructs you to do. He said, if you obey me and resist the devil, he shall flee. And the devil is the one who steals, kills, and destroys in your life. Amen. Don't ignore it. It's truth. So your problem isn't of flesh and blood. Your problem isn't because God doesn't care. It's not your problem because the world is going bad. Because the world is getting darker, yes. But God's light. What did he say? He said this. He said, where sin abounds, his grace abounds more. I depend on his grace, not on this world.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise and glory. We honor you, Father. We thank you for your word, and we pray, Father God, for your grace that you'll continue to work in us, to finish the work you've begun in us. It's our hope, Father God, that we will end this life, end this walk, looking as close to Jesus as possible. And we know, Father, it's not by our might nor by our strength, but by the power of your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word working in us to be what you have called us to be, to do what you have called us to do. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, now, we're going to do this. Do you have any announcements? Huh? Just a few? You want to bring them up? And Diane will take up the announcements in the offering, and then I've got something to do. I do.